true.
Summit County Justice Files.
Welcome to the Justice Files, your weekly dose of law and order, Summit County style, brought to you by Crystal 93 and the Summit County Sheriff's Office. I'm Tom Fricke from Crystal 93, here with Summit County Sheriff Jamie Fitzsimons, and we're here to inform and educate and engage with our community.
That's right, Tom, but before we get started, just a quick disclaimer. The Justice Files exclude some of the more serious and sensitive offenses, as well as ongoing investigations that could jeopardize prosecution. And of course, everyone accused of a crime is presumed innocent until proven guilty in a court of law.
Crime may not pay, but it sure makes for some interesting stories. So buckle up as we dive into the latest criminal activity and the lessons learned, and yes, more than a few moments of law enforcement levity, because while justice is a serious business, a little humor never hurt anyone. Unless, of course, it was a crime of bad jokes. Let's get into it with Summit County Sheriff Jamie Fitzsimons in the Sheriff's Office in the Summit County Justice Center. And the first incident we have on the Justice Files is a jail incident.
Yeah, you know, we had someone in our jail that came in severely intoxicated, probably was using some controlled substances out there in the community. Came into our jail and has been acting, well, badly since he's been here. Sometimes when we have people inmates in our jail that need to see the judge because they need to be advised in a timely manner, sometimes if they don't act accordingly, the judge will do it through video. Now, we started doing this during COVID, right, where people couldn't go in the courtroom. Judges sat there behind their TV screen or their computer monitor and saw defendants in the jail. And so now we have this guy who's been in our jail. He's one of our frequent flyers. And every time he comes in, it usually takes him a few days to come back down to earth before he settles down. Known to be violent, known to act out, known to want to fight with deputies. So, you know, we got him to a point where he was going to be advised by the judge through an iPad, through a tablet. And, of course, he was screaming nonsensically, and he was insulting his lawyer, his public defender, using the most derogatory terms you could imagine. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, now remember, I mean, I know this is not television, but he's behind a cell door with a cutout in it, you know, like where you put food trays through. And that's sort of where he's being advised through, like through that tray, through that hole in the door. This inmate decides to pull down his pants and moon the judge because he doesn't like what the judge is saying to him.
On video,
in the middle of a court proceeding. And then he tries to stick his leg through that portal, through that hole, and start kicking deputies. But the judge did not have a sense of humor in this case and, of course, elevated his bond, which makes it more difficult for him to get out of jail and makes him stay in our house just a little longer.
Now, you mentioned that one of the procedures you were using was developed during COVID.
Yeah.
How many procedures came up during the COVID lockdown that are still being in use, like what you were talking
about?
Yeah,
you know, it's an interesting question because there are several procedures that deal with communications, whether with its attorneys, whether it's with jail deputy staff, whether it's with court staff, that we started during COVID that continue. And in fact, this year through legislation, there's a bill being passed that kind of, well, codifies these procedures, especially with the public defender. It's the public defender that's putting through this bill. And one of those jail communications is we allowed defendants and public defenders to communicate via cell phone, through electronic means. They could Zoom call their public defender. They could call through cell phone their public defender. Some of these court procedures, like the one I just described, where a judge will see someone in jail on video, happened during COVID. We still do a lot of that. So these procedures are really, I shouldn't say really easy, but they can be accommodated in a small jail like ours. Ours is a 92-bed facility. But when you get to the larger jails, you know, we're talking about 3,000, 4,000, 5,000, 6,000-bed facilities, it becomes a little tougher to maintain these programs. But they've been really helpful for us. I mean, they really save a lot of burden on a lot of staff. Imagine moving someone like this down a hallway, through the courtrooms, into court, and trying to maintain his composure in a courtroom. Shackled, I would imagine.
Yeah, I would imagine so. Yeah, with a heavy escort. It's the Summit County Justice Files. Talking to Summit County Sheriff Jamie Fitzsimons, I'm Tom Fricke, and there is a case of a missing skier at Arapahoe Basin.
Yeah, you know, we've talked about these before on the Justice Files podcast, where these things, you know, we take all of these missing persons, but especially missing skiers in our inclement weather, at our altitude, many reasons why we take all of these missing skiers seriously. And this is a case of someone reported a car in one of our ski area parking lots after hours with all the equipment in the car, but no skier around. And, you know, we got ready to launch a full-scale search on the mountain using ski patrol and, if necessary, search and rescue and our deputies. But it soon turned out that this person had a few drinks at the base area and decided smartly that they weren't going to continue skiing or drive home. And they got a ride home, but neglected to tell anybody at the ski area, neglected to tell law enforcement, neglected to tell anybody. And as you know, they lock up these parking lots. And when they find a car there, we've got to find the person that goes with the car.
How long did it take to find the missing skier?
It took a while. I mean, it wasn't quick, but it was before we launched a tremendous amount of resources.
You didn't have to get up on the mountain.
We didn't have to get up on the mountain. We found them before that. Thank goodness. You know, we've found enough of these to where we go through a checklist before we start, you know, and also depending on weather and all that kind of stuff, temperature.
It's the Justice Files from Summit County, Colorado. And Colorado is where avalanches occur in the backcountry. And sometimes avalanches will block highways at random places as well, too. Avalanches are a real deal in Summit County, and especially serious when a person is involved.
Yeah, they are really serious. And as you mentioned, we've had quite a few this year already covering our highways and in the backcountry. We talked about a rescue here not too long ago on the podcast about a snowmobiler we rescued in an avalanche. This is in that same area, Shrine Bowl, which is the Vail Pass recreational area where people ski, snowmobile, cross-country ski. And there was a slide there. And the significant thing about this is that, you know, with technology, and in this case, drones, we are quickly able to scan these avalanches with our drone with infrared devices to find heat underneath the snow to find out if anyone is buried rather quickly. You know, lots of times, you know, as you know, Tom, old school is tracks in, tracks out. We always want to look, see tracks going in and tracks going out. We're a little concerned if we don't see tracks coming out. But now we're able, and we've flown many, many since our drone program now, avalanche, where we're able to A, get to someone quicker, or B, rule out that someone is trapped under it. So, you know, we here in Summit County, especially the Summit County Sheriff's Office, drones have changed policing force, and they've changed our backcountry rescues. So drones are here to stay.
We've been talking about drones, you and I, personally,
yes,
for many years.
Yeah.
And well before the sheriff's office got their first drone.
You were the first drone operator that I... Yes, way before we got them.
Yeah.
You know, I know, you know, you are a skilled drone operator, and so it's fun, especially talking drones with you, because you're one of the first people I knew that had drones.
And I just renewed my license, too.
Oh, look at you.
From the FAA. You got to do that every 2 years.
Oh,
wow. You got to take another test and just make sure that you know
all the test again.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
Right, yeah. And it takes about 2 hours to go through the whole process to renew your license to fly a drone.
That is not... Yeah. See, it's not easy.
No.
But it takes skill, and you got to be careful with them. I mean, the inherent danger in also flying those things... Well, especially around crowds.
Yeah. Well, you got to know the regulations, and just now they're able to fly over people if your drone meets certain specifications.
Oh, look at you.
So, yeah.
I have a feeling there's flying over people in your future.
Definitely. There's no doubt about that. A dispute on the rec path in Summit County. I mean, this is one of our most precious resources. The rec paths are just, I mean, they connect all the towns in Summit County and get you into some areas where the scenery is amazing and it's open year-round.
Year-round. We have recreational activity year-round. And as you said, we have some of the most, we have hundreds of miles of the most beautiful recreational paths. But we call them recreational paths for a reason and not bike paths like most places call these paths. And that's because they're shared by all recreational users all year round, right? They're seasonal. They're used by skiers in the winter. They're used by dog walkers and bikers. And I would call the moms and their strollers and the skateboarders. Let's not forget the longboarders, which I'm guilty of doing many times here on our on our rec paths. But it seems that every user seems to have owner interests in our rec paths and think that nobody else should be on them rather than everybody be respectful and get along on these rec paths. And in this instance, someone on a big fat tire bike going on the, obviously the snow-covered rec path, almost ran over a woman and her dog. And she wanted that person found and scolded because she was scared to death. But of course, by the time we get the call, and especially out on the rec path, this person has rode off into the sunset.
So just a little common courtesy when you're approaching somebody else and you're going faster, make a noise. There's usually a bell on your handlebar. That's ideal that you can ring that.
Or
just use your voice. You do have one of those and you can just say, on your left! Whichever way you decide to approach.
But right?
Say something. Make a noise.
Yes, but everybody has the right to enjoy
yes,
it, right?
Exactly.
Everybody. Yeah.
And especially with the path being plowed here, that's going to be a big thing, too, with bikes and everybody else getting out on the rec path.
Oh, my gosh.
So when iPhones had this feature introduced that it would automatically call 911 if it sensed that it was in a crash, this happened a few years ago when it first came out, and all of a sudden the Sheriff's Department and 911 was going crazy with iPhones self-auto-dialing because they thought they were in a crash. But Apple kind of alleviated some of the problem. But there are still issues.
Yeah, I think it came out with the iPhone 14 and the iWatch. And as we talked about many times on the radio, when this first technology first came out, I mean, skiers, every time they would fall down on the snow, it would go off. If a bicyclist fell down, I mean, they're super, super sensitive.
Well, we're hearing stories about people just unloading off a chairlift and falling.
Yeah,
and that triggered that. That was enough to trigger it.
Yeah, the thud of jumping off the chairlift on your skis was enough to trigger it. And, you know, we found, talk about a drain of resources. Yeah. We were at first, because we didn't really know about the sensitivity of these. You know, everything with Apple is always so secretive. We didn't find out until we were in the moment, so to speak, of responding to these. And we worked with Apple. As you remember, Tom, we talked about it so many times, the frustration of trying to reach the people at Apple to talk about this because it was like secret technology. But it did get better and it did get less sensitive, but we still get iPhone notifications. And with us here in Summit County, sometimes they're way out in the backcountry. Sometimes they're up on a ski mountain. Sometimes they're in the middle of the lake of our Lake Dillon here where people recreate on a boat. But in this one, this particular iCrash notification, deputies were responding to a call of a vehicle accident in an intersection, a big busy intersection here on our highways, and they got there because they got dispatched to a car accident because of an iPhone crash notification. Now sometimes we get these, you know, off your bumper, the cars will send a notification. Mm-hmm. That are separate on the iPhone, but this is from an iPhone. The deputies get there, the intersection's clear. There's nobody around. They can't understand what's happened here. And then one of the deputies noticed there's an iPhone in the middle of the intersection, the culprit. So they take the iPhone, and of course it's locked. They can't get into it. So they take it back to the sheriff's office. They book it in evidence for safekeeping, thinking that someone's going to report their iPhone missing or one of the people in the accident are going to come forward. And before you know it, the owner of the iPhone does appear, but only because she's tracking her iPhone on the find my iPhone app, and it shows that it's at the Summit County Sheriff's Office, and she wants to know how her phone ended up there. So it turns out during this accident and all the aftermath of the accident somehow fell out of her pocket. She didn't know. It thud on the ground, and that's what set off the activation. Otherwise, there was no one injured in the accident. They exchanged information. There was no evidence of the accident. And so she was able to find – she lost her iPhone through the crash, and she was able to find it through the Find My iPhone app. So
thank goodness nobody was hurt.
Thank God no one was hurt.
Yeah. Well, sometimes nature calls in the most unusual places, and this is one of those cases.
Yeah, you know, so who hasn't been driving down the interstate and you see someone on the side of the road with a car door open and either they're throwing up, they're taking a pee, they're doing something. But you are, it's like you know it, you recognize it right away.
Sure.
It's one of those things. What you don't expect in a residential neighborhood is someone to jump out of their car and in the bushes in front of your house, pull down their pants and start to defecate. I don't think you can be ready for that.
No. Nothing can prepare you for something like that.
Especially if you're the homeowner and you're home and you're like looking at the beautiful view out your window and all of a sudden here comes someone running out of the car with their pants down around their ankles and they're defecating in your front yard.
So what happened?
So the homeowner confronted this person, and the person begged for mercy and said, "I'm desperate," and then pulled up his pants and ran. That was it. I mean, the homeowner scared him off, and deputies got there. The defecator was gone, and there was no trace of the defecation.
He may have had to clean up his car afterwards, but at least he didn't leave any trace. That's a good thing.
Wow. He may have left a trace in his pants, though.
Animals behaving badly. A segment of the Summit County Justice Files that deserves its own space, definitely, because animals are quite prevalent in Summit County. Some people say there's more dogs than people in Summit County. I may disagree. It's close.
It could be. I mean, sometimes you see cars with multiple dogs, so yes. That would make up for the people that don't have a dog.
Right.
But, you know, there's some states where they say there's more cows than people. Uh-huh. Some counties even in Colorado, ranching communities.
Yeah.
So you may not be far off about saying there's more dogs in Summit County, but, you know, Tom, sometimes, you know, I get these logs from animal control. Our animal control and shelter, probably the most popular place in Summit County because everyone loves their dogs and loves our animal control staff. But, you know, sometimes I read these things and I think, you know, if you replace the word dog with people, these incidents that our animal control officers come across are no different. Sometimes they're just as serious and sometimes just as funny as some of the criminal activity we come across. So I thought, you know, I'll include some of the more interesting dog stories that we come across here in Summit County.
Well, let's start with the first one.
So the first one is someone called to report that they had a couple dogs and one dog killed the other dog in their living room and they didn't know what to do with the dead dog in their living room. And so they called animal control to come sort it out for them. And they ultimately took the dead dog away and ultimately decided to surrender the live dog that killed the dog to animal control to have it euthanized. But, you know, this is, if you think about it, something like this, it's tragic for the family to go through. But when you think about multiple dogs in a house and all of a sudden one dog decides to, I don't know, something went wrong with the wiring and decided to attack and kill the other house dog. It just makes you wonder, how different is that than people?
A roommate situation.
Than the roommate situations we talk about.
I know.
Right?
Yeah. It's a challenge. Definitely a challenge.
It's a challenge.
Yeah.
You know, and then we talk about, there's a blind man that owns a cat, really fond of his cat, and cares for his cat. And there's an animal control officer that we have that's really fond of the blind man and the cat and has helped this person out many times because they see the value of this cat really caring for the blind man. Animal control conducts what they call welfare checks every once in a while. And where we as law enforcement conduct welfare checks on people, animal control conducts welfare checks on
animals, and in this case, to make sure that the blind man's able to take care of his cat. So the animal control officer got there and couldn't find the cat, and looked around the house and found that there was a tile missing out of the ceiling, and that the cat had found its way into the ceiling and made its temporary home up in the ceiling. And that's why the blind guy could not find the cat. It had nothing to do with being blind.
So the officer helped out and found the cat?
And offered to fix the ceiling so the cat wouldn't live up there.
Perfect.
Yeah.
That's a good thing.
All's well that ends well.
Yes.
More like roommate situations.
Right.
Yeah, we have roommates that do things like that.
Well, there's a couple of homeowners that agreed to foster an adult male dog from someone in Denver. And that's usually a common thing, you know, take care of the dog, going away for a week, whatever, vacationers. And it usually goes without issue, except in some cases.
Yeah, you know, we talked about Summit County. We love our dogs here.
Yeah.
And here's a couple up here in Summit County and homeowners that saw a Facebook post from someone in Denver that was looking for someone to foster a dog. And they decided to foster it. And within hours of that dog being in their house, it had bitten both of them. And the best the homeowners could do was lock the dog in a bedroom and call animal control. And the bites were to the point where they actually drove themselves to the hospital to be seen about their bites, but were afraid to go home without someone going and getting the dog. And so they gave their keys to animal control. Animal control went and tried to get the dog and was successful getting the dog and then tracking down the owner, so to speak, in Denver. And the owner told them a story of that they saw two dogs. They drove all the way to Los Angeles days prior to rescue two dogs from a kill shelter, meaning that they will euthanize dogs, and decided to rescue these two dogs and just put one up for fostering, but that they would take it back.
So just randomly, they drove from Denver to Los Angeles to get foster dogs.
If people weren't so sensitive about dogs, I'd wonder if it was really a drug run.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
right.
What are you really...
Has that occurred? I mean, it's in your mind. Has something like that popped up before?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. But when someone goes, oh, I felt sorry for some dogs in a random Los Angeles shelter and went and picked them up. What a great story if you get pulled over on the side of the road and a cop stops you. You go, hey, I just rescued the... Little they know your whole trunk is loaded with dope.
Oh, boy.
I'm not saying this. I'm certainly not saying this.
Right.
That this
but it
was
can happen.
It has happened. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. You got to watch out.
Oh, my God.
It's like, you know, sneaky things going on. Well, we talk about all these cool things at the Summit County Justice Files here at Summit County, Colorado. I'm Tom Fricke with Summit County Sheriff Jamie Fitzsimons, and we get to visit on the radio on Crystal 93 Thursday mornings at about 7:45. You can tune in and hear a couple of minutes of conversation on what's top of mind at the sheriff's office, but we go a little more in-depth here on the podcast. Yeah, and we've talked about a lot of cases, but there's resolutions to some of these cases that we like to talk about as well.
Yeah, and it's good to bring up the resolutions when we have them. And these are a couple of cases that our detectives, who stay incredibly busy here investigating crimes that occur in Summit County. One of them that they just wrapped up was a fraud that they investigated, where someone reported that over a seven-year period, they gave money to a undisclosed young woman in another state that they were going to go into a real estate transaction together and put her up in a house. And then over 7 years, she talked him out of $1.1 million, saying that she was going to fix up the house, she was going to do this, do that. And as it turns out, when she would not pay him the money that was owed him, and, you know, the agreement was she was going to pay him X amount a month towards the money that she's borrowed towards his house. It was discovered that by law they had actually entered into a contractual agreement. And although we never really came to understand the relationship between the two, that this turned out to be a civil matter, that there was no criminal standing, and that he was out the $1.1 million. And that he would have to seek some sort of civil remedy through it. These type of investigations, these fraud ones involving money like this, like This particular one, we involved the FBI because of the amount of money, and also because there are scams like this that are so prevalent that there are people that do these all over the country that the FBI tracks. You know, like, oh, hey, we know this person. We've tracked them on three other frauds. But that wasn't the case in this one. And because he had entered into a contractual agreement with her, ended up having to be handled civilly.
So do we know what the chances are of this guy getting back any of the $1.1 million?
But, you know, it's not funny, first of all.
No, it's not. But it is kind of just a little bit.
This is why we have the introduction, right, to the Justice Files, because we're laughing. It's not funny. But if you think of the premises, like, who gives away $1 million? To a young woman,
right,
in another state.
Unless you have so much money, it doesn't matter.
I guess $1.1 million to some people is like lunch money to us.
Yeah, I guess.
You know, just poor working folk.
Wow.
But, every summer we have wildfires here, unfortunately. We investigate all sorts of fire starts that happen across the county. It's not uncommon, especially with our interstate running through, I-70 running through Summit County, that sometimes we get fires that are started by vehicles or started by trucks. What's interesting is we had a case last summer where a small fire was put out along I-70, and a gas can was found near it. Mm. And so we went out there, and what's interesting is the sheriff's office works with our local fire districts and provides sort of an investigative arm to their fire investigators. So they have fire investigators that do investigate these things, but when they need, you know, since they don't interview suspects all the time, they don't conduct these sort of investigations, they often lean on our investigative staff, our detectives, to help them. And so this is one of those cases where we worked in partnership with our fire districts. We recovered that can. Our evidence team went out there and collected all the evidence and took fingerprints to no avail. I mean, we submitted them. Fingerprints came back. They weren't – doesn't mean it wasn't done. It just means those fingerprints are not on file. But it was an interesting exercise because our detectives don't – investigate fires all the time, and the fire investigators don't do criminal investigations all the time. So it's a great, great partnership here locally.
Case closed.
Case closed.
All right. Another case closed, theft near Vail Pass.
Yeah, this was these ones I don't understand either, Tom. And you and I hear these stories all the time where someone's going for a hike or a ski, and they decide they're carrying too much stuff, and they're just going to leave something by a tree, and then nobody's going to take it, especially when it's a nice backpack.
Right. Somebody left a backpack all out in the woods by itself.
I guess they didn't need it.
I guess not.
Because they wouldn't have left it.
Right.
Why would they leave something like it? Maybe the "Please take me, it's free" sign blew away in the wind, because clearly there must have been a free sign with it.
Well, apparently this case, they thought they were going to get the pack back.
Yeah, and inside this pack were some personal belongings that included some AirPods, you know, that aren't cheap. Again, you know, everybody leaves backpacks with AirPods on trees for people not to take. Please leave it. But someone did take this. Some unscrupulous person took it. And again, this person was able to track their stuff, through the AirPods and through an AirTag, and they located it in an adjoining county here, one of our neighboring counties, and we called our law enforcement partners over there, and we were able to recover the backpack. And of course, when the person got their backpack back, they said, "But my AirPods are missing." Mm. And so we sent law enforcement back over there and said, "AirPods, please." And they coughed those up as well. And then the person that had the property stolen was satisfied with getting all of their property back and didn't want any criminal remedies.
So the lesson learned is don't leave your property in a random tree in the backcountry, because it might not be there when you get back.
Huh.
How about that?
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. Oh, wow.
The Summit County Justice Files. Back at the end of February, there was a road rage incident that we talked about on the podcast.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah.
We talked about this one where there was a road rage on one of the highways here near one of the ski areas, and where one car pulled in front of the other, and the guy jumps out and runs up, jumps on the person's hood, and actually breaks the windshield.
And that was a rental car, it turns out.
And the person was recording the person doing it and then leaving, and caught enough of their license plate to where our detectives were able to conduct a follow-up, locate the offender, get them to admit doing it. And, of course, everyone has an excuse why they engage in road rage, because that's always justifiable. And the detectives, you know, just wrote them a ticket and said, have a nice day. Please don't engage in road rage anymore, or this is going to happen to you. But it's amazing how people try to justify it and act like that this behavior is okay in today's world.
It is not okay. It's not cool.
It's never okay, no. Especially when you're endangering lives on a highway.
Yes. You don't want to be threatening people in any way, shape, or form.
And breaking their property.
Not a cool thing at all.
No.
Well, that's a wrap for this week's Justice Files. I'm Tom Fricke, along with Summit County Sheriff Jamie Fitzsimons. And remember, knowledge is power, and a little laughter along the way doesn't hurt either.
Hey, and just so we're clear, Tom, our coverage doesn't include every crime. We leave out the most serious and sensitive cases, and all suspects are presumed innocent until proven guilty in a court of law. With that said, stay safe, stay informed, and if you're thinking about committing a crime, maybe don't. It never ends well, and you might just end up as our next feature.
You can also read the Justice Files on the Summit County Sheriff's Office website, new website, at summitsheriffcolorado.gov. Until next time, this is the Justice Files, the Summit County Justice Files, where law meets laughs and justice always has a final say. As always, Summit County Sheriff Jamie Fitzsimons, thank you for your service.
Thank you, Tom.